forward to sharing with you my prophetic word for 2016, and I've titled it A True Year of Jubilee, and we'll speak into Trump, the presidency, Muslims, the economy, and justice, among some other issues as well. We're entering another phenomenal year of unprecedented kingdom advancement. Now, many markers tell us that 2016 is a very special year. It's a leap year, a presidential election year for America, and a most unique year of Jubilee. 2016 also comes at the beginning of what is forecast to be the biggest El Nino weather phenomenon ever. Furthermore, this is all taking place in the era of Renaissance. It's an era of Renaissance in the knowledge of God and in the age of the restoration of all things, of which it speaks of in Acts 3:21. First, let's do a prophetic review of 2015. Obviously, it becomes clear that the doomsday scenarios predicted for the United States during the months of September through December haven't taken place. The economy didn't collapse. We weren't hit by a catastrophic meteorite. There weren't any destructive earthquakes or tsunamis. The rapture didn't occur. We aren't under martial law. ISIS didn't bring our country to its knees. And neither Russia nor China nor anyone else invaded us. Instead, an estimated 100 million people became followers of Jesus Christ, including perhaps up to 500,000 Muslims. Though this comes from sources that can't be quoted. The number of Holy Spirit-filled believers, which is now over 700 million, reached almost 1 in 10 on the planet, which is the highest ever. The extreme poverty rate in the world dropped to its lowest ever. Abortions dropped to almost one-half the rate they were in 1990. Divorce rates continued their recent substantial drop. Teen pregnancies decreased to their lowest rate since 1940, when statistics were first recorded. You can see in my book, The Seven Mountain Renaissance, Vision and Strategy through 2050. Page 52 is where I have cited sources for the for that which I've just shared with you. Many incorrectly perceive the signs of the historic blood moons, the upcoming Jubilee season, and the warmest year ever recorded for the planet. What they thought portended to disaster instead spoke of an acceleration of the advancing kingdom of God. While many fretted and announced the advancement of Satan's kingdom, the reality is that our Father's kingdom showed up on the world stages in unprecedented ways. Allow me to give you some real-life examples. In Hollywood, faith-themed movies made over $300 million. In fact, a whole stream of faith-based movies are on their way. Perhaps even more significant than that is the fact that billions of box office dollars in 2015 came from hit movies that promoted the kingdom values of courage, redemption, honor, forgiveness, integrity, and love. It has become common on the various singing and dancing reality shows for Christians to be celebrated for their excellence and anointing. Some may have heard Jordan Smith was the winner of The Voice, and his amazing performances with Mary Did You Know and Great Is Thy Faithfulness, for example. And there was Jennifer Phillips from The X Factor UK, who brought the judges and the crowd to its feet with when she sang Mary Mary's song, Shackles. The anointing is truly being showcased on the biggest platforms of the world, and you can see it visibly affect the judges and the audience. We've watched Justin Bieber awaken to his call, as he recently expressed in a Rolling Stone interview, that he just wants to be like Jesus. His latest album, Purpose, is full of references to God and Justin's desire to connect a generation to him. It's becoming cool in Hollywood to go to Bible studies and to have a pastor. The whole entertainment industry is in the midst of an extreme makeover, and it's creating unprecedented opportunities for the King's kids who know their assignment to bring glory to his name. A great example of this is Tyler Perry, a Christian who's an excellent movie producer and businessman and has become a key player and heavyweight in the industry in recent years. A brand new complex heavily advanced by Chick-fil-A owners called Pinewood Studios in southern Atlanta has suddenly become the place to film movies. It is now known as Atlanta's $6 billion film industry, and it's really believers who are making a big difference. The shift in the last 3 years alone has been monumental, and really it's all just getting started. We're headed to a time when it will be more of the exception when an award or prize doesn't go to an open follower of Jesus Christ. Papa Showtime has just begun. And we can see this same trend in the major sports platforms as well. Derrick Henry, the running back of Alabama, winner of the Heisman Trophy, spoke in his acceptance speech boldly of his love for God and how he prays to him every day. Dabo Swinney, coach of the undefeated number one Clemson Tigers team, began his comments after the big Orange Bowl win by thanking God for his goodness and stated his desire to give him glory. Boxing champion Manny Pacquiao is also very overt in his love for God. Recent surprise UFC World Championship winner Holly Holm was referred to as the preacher's daughter. PGA Tour 21-year-old sensation and player of the year Jordan Spieth, if I got the name right, is a believer. NBA MVP Stephen Curry, is an avowed believer, as are many of his NBA champion Golden State Warrior teammates. 24 of the starting 32 quarterbacks in the NFL, including Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Peyton Manning, are followers of Jesus. World's best soccer team, Barcelona from Spain, has the 2015 breakout star Neymar, who is an open follower of Jesus. I could go on and on, but the point is, while many have been obsessing with the Giants in the land, it was a breakout year on the world stages for sons and daughters of the Most High. It's already at an unprecedented level, and this will continue to be the prevailing trend. Furthermore, a huge shift is taking place within Christianity itself that many are worried about, but it's a good thing. This shift is away from sin awareness and fear and towards grace consciousness and hope. Now, those who tend to be more sin-focused may be tempted to panic over this trend. Some are. But be assured that this is a good and necessary one. What you focus on, you make room for. We've been highlighting sin for centuries and reaped accordingly. We're now seeing a shift and movement to let grace rule, and we're going to see the fruit of grace like never before. There are major voices such as Joseph Prince, Andrew Womack, and more recently Creflo Dollar, preaching this strong emphasis on the power of grace. They may or may not have every I dotted and every T crossed perfectly, but on the other hand, that's the idea of grace. It's about His work versus our work, and it's about inside-out dynamics rather than outside-in. To the degree that we remain in an outside-in mentality, we are essentially stuck in an Old Testament paradigm, which undermines the work of Jesus on the cross. External pressures cannot produce inner transformation, and transformation is the goal. Individuals who have been transformed by grace can then transform their world, expanding the same inside-out dynamics. God desires that we engage Him with our hearts and then allow Him to change our external behavior as an overflow of His love and acceptance. When we don't understand that about Him, then we represent His heart incorrectly, and attempt to legislate hearts and behavior through laws and imposition rather than simply representing His heart of love and His solutions. As a last example of God's advancing in kingdom in 2015, we have several prominent and impacting voices of hope. Joel Osteen isn't just an inch deep and a mile wide, as some say, but is clearly carrying a huge anointing on his life and on his message. In fact, I saw that God has assigned the largest angel of hope on the planet to him. The sin-focused crowd generally blasts him, while millions of unbelievers are watching him in over 100 nations and are receiving a much better perspective of God than our old turn-or-burn voices of days past. Joel's message of hope has him nicknamed the Smiling Preacher, and he has 15 New York Times best-selling books to his credit with this theme. He and T.D. Jakes carry the titles of America's most influential pastors. T.D. is also an important voice of hope in a hope-starved world. To these names, we could add Bill Johnson, as he champions a good God who's in a good mood and desires, furthermore, to pour out His power and healing to us and through us. So the kingdom of God will forcefully advance in 2016, but we will have a difficult time recognizing that if we don't realize that it was already forcefully advancing in 2015. As we transition into a new year, it's imperative to look back and identify some of these breakthroughs we've experienced. If you can't properly perceive them at work in the past, then you may have a vision defect that needs to be healed before you can correctly see him moving forward. The good news is that God is actively working in our midst to teach us how to see and perceive him and his heart correctly. Trump and the year of Jubilee. Now, 2016 brings to us a most remarkable synergy of time, personages, and events. When we connect to the Hebraic calendar, we discover that we're in the midst of the 70th Jubilee since Joshua and Caleb went into the Promised Land with the children of Israel. It's also the 40th Jubilee since Jesus was on earth. The number 70 is a very significant number in the Bible, and that speaks of restoration. It's a multiple of 7, which is a number of perfection, and 10, number of completeness. Furthermore, the original year of Jubilee spoken of in Leviticus 25 started on the 7th month and the 10th day. We certainly don't want to miss the impacting fact that we're now in a 70th Jubilee time period. Leviticus 25 gives us the central tenets of a year of Jubilee. First of all, it was a year for the ground to rest from production. More applicable for us, it was a year all who were indebted were forgiven their debts. The shofar, the trumpet, was to be blown everywhere as a sound that proclaimed a new season of liberty. At the sound of the trumpet, everyone received a fresh start. So it was a time of renewed hopes and dreams. This was God's idea and gives us an amazing view of his character and heart of mercy. The qualification was never about the people deserving it, but all about his generosity towards those who needed it the most. Each one of us needs to really grasp this as a truth and reality that we can personally believe and embrace as God's heart for us. I believe this Jubilee will actually continue over a 7-year period because it is the 70th Jubilee since Israel entered into their Promised Land. Again, your Promised Land is your appointed area for maximum fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. It isn't about you becoming rich and famous, although aspects of both of those may take place as you discover your unique role in advancing his solutions and correct reputation in the earth. So what does Donald Trump have to do with the year of Jubilee? I don't believe that it's merely a coincidence that a political figure who's garnering so much attention all over the world is a man whose name is Trump and is turning 70 years old during the 70th year of Jubilee. The symbolism of his name and age draws our attention to the trumpet blowing of a most unique Jubilee season. Whatever else Donald Trump will do or stand for is at minimum a reminder of the unique year that we are entering into. Now, the presidency? I will clearly state that the Lord hasn't shown me who will be the next president of the United States. Let me also state that I personally have my doubts that it will be Donald Trump. I think many feel that God is saying something through the appearance of Mr. Trump on the political scene, but most also admit that they aren't necessarily saying he'll be elected president. If Trump is a trumpet or shofar sound that God is using, then we must follow the biblical pattern. The shofar was never the thing God was doing, rather it was only that which activated, facilitated, or proclaimed what God was doing. The trumpet was not the year of Jubilee itself, but the declaration of it. The appearance of Trump in the political arena has clearly made this election a hybrid like no other. Normal rules are out the door. The candidates that seem best positioned in terms of resources and organization haven't seen that translate directly into the typical advantages we'd expect to see. As it relates to Trump's primary political stances, I believe that many of them represent what God is judging in the United States as opposed to what he's endorsing. If you draw up a kingdom blueprint for who God would place in the position of authority as president, you wouldn't pick a 3 times married, divider, polarizer, and significantly challenging the fruit of the Holy Spirit, brash individual. A recent survey has said that 50% of Americans would be embarrassed to have Trump as president. I believe he's presently operating as a bull in the china shop of the 2016 elections. Ultimately, will he run the shop or just initiate its rebuilding. I don't know, but I do believe the process will reveal that God has been much more sovereign than many of us imagined, and that Donald Trump will prove out to have been used strategically for the purposes of God. In this election year, it's important to understand that God is being very efficient and proficient with the process by using it to educate us in His ways. He has focused less on trying to get in the right candidate and more on trying to teach us the right lessons. I believe we're going to see a manifestation of Psalms 76:10 in this electoral process. Human defiance only enhances your glory, for you use it as a weapon. Now, as it relates to the presidency, what I am sure of is that whoever ultimately becomes president will in fact have been orchestrated by God. The reason we so often miss being in agreement with his choice for president is that we're not often aware of what God is working on next in society. We're out of time and rhythm with him. We don't understand his patience and long-suffering, and therefore wrongfully assume that what we feel should be the priority must be his priority too. Many others don't even have him in the equation at all and are literally justifying why they should be entitled to their fears. It is of utmost importance to be in the right narrative of the day. With the wrong narrative, we make decisions based on a storyline that's out of sync with the overall plot and direction. With the wrong narrative, we'll fight political battles with the wrong mindset and be convinced we must vote for a candidate that God has no intention of endorsing. What we believe regarding illegal immigrants, Muslims, ISIS, the state of our economy, and the day we live in is what will affect our choice of presidential candidate. If we're more fearful about the issues, then we're going to vote one way. If we're more hopeful, then we'll vote another way. Regardless of how you or I vote, the candidate of God's choice will be elected. God is very, very involved this election. If there are other elections where he says, well, I'll just give them who they want, this election is not one of them. The intentionality of God will rule supreme, even in our freedom of democratic expression. When you're God, you can do that. Now, a little bit about Muslims. Muslims are key protagonists this year as well as in the future. Because of this reality, many aren't sure if they're the next Nazi force to be feared and defended against or if they're our next harvest field. The answer is the latter, and it's an answer we must be right about or we'll miss a great opportunity. Fear keeps us out of kingdom advancement while love and courage connect us to it. More Muslims have come to Jesus since 9-1-1 than in the lengthy history of Islam. Most of the amazing things taking place in Muslim nations cannot be cited or shared openly because of the added persecution it would bring to them. But reportedly, there are in excess of 25,000 coming to Jesus every day. Many, many Muslims have had dreams where Jesus has revealed himself to them. I've recently heard about the exceptional quality of many of these new converts to Christ. It's obvious that their radical, courageous brand of Christianity is going to infuse the whole body of Christ with a much-needed upgrade. We need what the Muslim converts bring to us almost as much as they need Christ. You know, Christianity is not meant to be the second or third most passionate religion on the planet, but rather the most passionate. That passion is meant to be a reflection of the love of God, as opposed to the rules and rituals of religion. Muslim converts will be champion demonstrators of his love, his hospitality, his courage, his faith, and his supernatural capabilities. The blinding principality that has had Muslims in its vice grip is being decimated and weakened as never before. In time, there will be a virtual crash of that principality that will rock the planet into turbo kingdom acceleration. The whole world being challenged with Sharia law is not our future narrative. A half a billion Muslims coming into the kingdom is the direction we are headed into, and soon enough, I believe it'll be a headline story. As believers, we can either accelerate or decelerate that based on our participation with the right or wrong narrative. Now, a little bit on the economy. The one constant before us remains the same, change. A generation of superhero believers are about to rise and challenge the status quo everywhere. They will rise on every mountain of society, media, economy, family, government, arts and entertainment, education, and religion. They'll bring our papa's better way of doing everything to every area of society. As a major part of that, God showed me that the great angel of the mountain of economy has been released with his armies and activated over us. He will care for the world's economy as well as provide the wisdom for the better systems that must replace the systems of mammon. There is no present economic crisis in any nation where the solution for that crisis doesn't already exist in the sons and the daughters of the king. The United States' $18+ trillion debt is only an impossible situation with man. It isn't if there is a solution, only what the solution is. The year of the 70th Jubilee is perfect timing for that to begin to be dealt with, and we must represent the heart of God and his mercy towards us by carrying a voice of hope in that regard. If the world economy's future were up to humans alone, we would indeed be headed for devastation in the soon coming days. Everyone with understanding in the economy who can do the math on it can see that. However, there won't be a world economic crash because we're going to partner with the heavenly help that is being sent to us and find his solutions in the coming years. Satan wants to crash the world economy because he wants to sabotage the current world harvest that's taking place. He isn't going to succeed because God continues to have mercy on us. Of course, we'll have hiccups and bumps, but that will just allow for more sound and transparent systems to be implemented. Remove yourself from the fear associated with the economy, as that only strengthens the principality of mammon. Now I want to speak to you about a vivid dream that I had regarding spiritual blood pressure. In this dream, I was taking my blood pressure, and to my surprise, it registered a very low 111 over 70, which is much lower than anything I ever see in real life. The numbers from my dream stuck with me, and I realized that the Lord was speaking through the numbers themselves. For those of you who have been following some of my prophetic words, you know that 111 is a significant number in this season. As previously stated, the number 70 is also quite important for us. I believe the Lord desires all of us to maintain a 111 over 70 spiritual blood pressure. This is even much more important than your natural blood pressure. And looking at the beginning of those numbers, 70 represents a time of restoration and jubilee that we've been talking about. And 111 is about crossing into promised land and living by faith. Jubilee and faith are two key words for us to walk in this year. Joshua 1:11 says, "Go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready." Then he goes on to say, "Go in, take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own." Then Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of what we don't see." Faith is the opposite of certainty. In order to maintain your spiritual health this year, you must remember these three words: fun, faith, and fruitfulness. This is the essence of the spiritual blood pressure that God has available for us. Fun may seem to be most inappropriate for certain situations, but it's perhaps the most appropriate. Paul instructed us to count it all joy, even when we fall into diverse trials, and to rejoice in the Lord always. He also told us that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In 2016, be sure to keep your fun on, keep your faith on, and your fruitfulness on. It's the year of Jubilee, and you don't want to miss its benefits. Now, here's your guarantee for a jubilant 2016. It comes from Psalms 16, verses 5 through 9. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rejoice in hope. I want to read it in the Living Bible because that just brings a new dimension to it. The same verses. The Lord himself is my inheritance, my prize. He is my food and drink, my highest joy. He guards all that is mine. He sees that I am given pleasant brooks and meadows as my share. What a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who counsels me. He gives me wisdom in the night. He tells me what to do. I am always thinking of the Lord, and because he's near, I never need to stumble or fall. Heart, body, and soul are filled with joy. Yeah, I love that. As we are going into 2016, I believe that there are one of two distinct paths that you will find yourself on. On one of those paths, many of you have been or will be suddenly thrown into transition, a reboot mode that's similar to a GPS that's recalculating. It will prove out to be divinely orchestrated. The times and seasons of the Lord are going to hit you like a whirlwind, and there'll be no more business as usual for you, but you'll be divinely repositioned for greater fruitfulness. Be assured that He has a good inheritance for you, and He has lines that fall to you in a pleasant place as you make the Lord Himself your portion and your inheritance. He is the one that maintains your lot and guards all that is yours. It is in Him you live and move and have your being. 2016 may briefly feel like you're in a night season of being clueless as to how to proceed, but He will instruct your heart with wisdom and lead you into your jubilee. On the other path, I see a year of acceleration and abundance. For those, you've already seen the lines that fall in pleasant place, and you'll be shown an even greater vein of treasure. You're already in the right field of inheritance and fun and faith and fruitfulness, and that is your immediate track. Whichever path you find yourself on, remember to maintain the 111 over 70 spiritual blood pressure. That's fun, faith, and fruitfulness, along with an expectation of restoration in the year of Jubilee. We must all shift to a mentality of abundance and stay in that, no matter what the test or the contradiction. All things are possible at any time. Nothing is impossible in 2016. A time of the justice of God. Justice will be a big theme in 2016. We will see it emphasized and applied in many areas, including our own justice system that's presently highly inexcusably unjust. Justice will come as judgment, which means a rendering of a verdict, to the house of God. Matthew 20:16 and Luke 20:16 are appropriate passages for this year. Matthew 20:16 says, "The last will be first and the first last." This will be a reality in many situations. Luke 20:16 is a little stronger and says, "He'll come and destroy those vine dressers and give the vineyards to others." The vineyards speak of churches, denominations, and ministries, especially TV ministries, who have wrongfully represented the Lord in the areas that He gave them stewardship over. While the church has been pointing its judgmental finger at society, the justice of the Lord will focus on His house. Many vine dressers have assumed that the vineyard where they operate is theirs, but they'll soon discover that it's His vineyard. In 2016, God will be initiating a lot of promoting and demoting in His house, where the last shall be first and the first shall be last. This is all part of the year of Jubilee. You know, for more on the 2016, I welcome you to read my Rosh Hashanah word for 2015 called The Year You Will Roar. All in all, 2016 will bear out to be a wonderful year of kingdom advancement. The spiritual atmosphere is clearing up and demonstrations of glory will increase. Voices and eyes of hope will experience the greatest favor and help from heaven. God will be greater than every challenge, and He will have a solution for every crisis. Abundance is also a key word for now, and we must shift our paradigm to one of abundance. If we'll gaze into His face, we'll see written there on His face, "All is possible." If you will keep your mouth in agreement with who He is, your greatest year is ahead of you. Thank you. May God bless you.
If you're interested in more resources that will equip you for your kingdom assignment to reform the areas of culture that you're passionate about, you can check out our website and online bookstore at johnnyandelizabeth.com. While we're happy to make these podcasts available to you for free, donations help make that possible. You can donate on our website, where you'll also find information about our ongoing RISE courses and events. Be sure to subscribe through iTunes to receive our latest podcasts. May God continue to display His goodness through you in all that you do today and every day.